Thank you, Joni. Please find Judges, the book of Judges, and the 16th chapter. And tonight we look at yet another snapshot in the Christian family album. And you may be saying, well, Pastor, do you mean to say that these people in the Old Testament were members of the Christian family? Well, the family didn't have that name in the Old Testament. The believers weren't called Christians until the book of Acts. But these people in the Old Testament are part of our family because they were all redeemed by the grace of God. And I've been saying to you constantly throughout this series that God always has had one plan of salvation, and that plan of salvation is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only difference between the people of the Old Testament and the people of the New Testament era and after the New Testament is that those people look forward in faith to the coming Christ, and we look backward in faith to the Christ who has come. But make no mistake about it, everyone who gets to heaven will be there on one basis alone, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ dying on Calvary's cross. So, yes, these people of the Old Testament are part of our family, the family of believers, the family of God. And one of the joys that will be ours in heaven is getting to meet so many members of our family. Now, it may be that you have family members here on earth that you haven't met yet. I have two sisters in Illinois, and they have not met our last grandson, Noah. And so he's part of their family. They're part of his family, but they haven't met yet. Well, there are lots and lots of people in our family of believers that we haven't met. But my, what a joy it will be to get to heaven and meet these people and fill in some of the details. Lots of things I'd like to know about these people that I can't find in Scripture. But there'll come a day, I believe, as sure as I'm standing here, that I'll be able to talk to these great, great saints of God, and they'll be able to fill in the details. And that'll be fascinating, won't it? Well, we've met some interesting characters here on these summer Sunday evenings. We talked about Mr. First on Earth and Mr. First in Heaven. And we talked about Mr. Walking with God. You remember Mr. Rotten Choice? Yes, some of the members of our family have not performed very well. I've talked to you about how every family has its heroes and its goats, but most families have heroes who act like goats and goats who sometimes act like heroes. Well, Lot was a righteous man, but he made a rotten choice. I've been trying to give you a caption for each of these members of our family album, and that was the caption for Lot, Mr. Rotten Choice. And you might say, well, is this an all-man series? Is this just a male gender thing? No, we looked at Mrs. Laughter. And we're going to look at a couple of other ladies before this series is over. But tonight we come to Judges chapter 16, and we meet a man with whom you are very familiar. You have probably heard his story since you were knee-high to a grasshopper. And this is the story of Samson. And I am giving this caption to you for Samson, Mr. Seduced, Mr. Seduced. You're all familiar with that word, seduced. That's a word that is used quite a bit in our society. And our word seduced comes from a Latin word which means to be led away from that which is right and good to that which is base and vile. That's what the Latin word means, to be led away from that which is right and good to that which is base and vile. And so we can say that to be seduced, if we yield to the seduction, is not only to be led away, but to be led astray. And of course, Samson stands in the pages of Scripture as a preeminent example of a man who was led away from that which was good and right, to embrace that which was evil that which was base, that which was vile. And Samson will be forever associated with this matter, this issue of seduction. And you know what the Apostle Paul says. He says that these Old Testament stories are here for examples to us so that we might learn from them. And we're not looking tonight at the story of Samson just because we have some kind of odd, strange interest in old stories. No, these are old stories, but they're living stories. And we're looking at the account of Samson tonight because he speaks to us about something that is just as real and something that is just as dangerous today as it was when he faced it centuries ago. So with that as our background, look with me at Judges chapter 16, and I want to select just a few verses to read to you. Verses 4 and 5. Afterward, it happened that he, that is Samson, loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Entice him and find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." And now go down, please, to verses 15 through 22. Verses 15 through 22. Then she, that is Delilah, said to him, that is Samson, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies." And it came to pass, when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, "No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart." So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, and they bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Now, some of you may read the account of Samson, and you may say, well, Samson seems to have committed so many sins, and he seems to have failed so miserably. Perhaps he is not to be included in the family of God at all. May I simply say that that would be a very wrong conclusion for you to draw. We know that Samson's in the family of God because we find him there in the Christian Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11. So yes, he belongs to the family of God, even though he failed miserably. By the way, doesn't that bring just a little tidbit of comfort to your heart? You've failed miserably at some point in your life, haven't you? I mean, you've said something, you've done something that made you horribly ashamed. And yet God didn't kick you out of the family, did he? I mean, God's grace is greater than that. Aren't you glad that your part in the family of God does not depend on your performance? Aren't you glad that God's grace is the thing that puts us in his family, and it's the thing that keeps us in his family? Well, I want to divide my sermon for you tonight into three parts. I want you to think with me about Samson's calling, and then Samson's collapse, And I know whenever preachers have two points that begin with the same letter, we've got calling and collapse. People kind of expect a third point. And I kind of like to start with the same letter, and I kind of like to be unpredictable. So after talking about Samson's calling and his collapse, I want to close with a word about his final victory. So now you have the 3 points of the sermon: his calling and his collapse and his final victory. I read just a small portion of the life of Samson here from the 16th chapter of the book of Judges. We have many more accounts about Samson here in this book. And let me just say to you that Samson was one of the judges of Israel. You know that at this particular time in the nation's history, the nation did not have a king. The nation had one judge after the other, and Samson was one of those judges. Now, Samson was brought to the leadership of the people of Israel at a time of great need in the life of Israel. The Philistines were dominating the people of Israel at this particular time. But the people of Israel did not cry out against the oppression of the Philistines. You find this pattern in the book of Judges. You'll find that some nation was oppressing the people of Israel, and they cried out in their oppression. And then God delivered them. But they rather enjoyed the domination of the Philistines. They were rather enamored with the Philistine culture. And so when the Philistines began to exert influence over them, the people of Israel did not cry out to God for deliverance from the Philistines. And so God raised up Samson for this purpose. He raised up Samson to convey to the people of Israel that they were not to get comfortable with the Philistines. God raised up Samson to be a champion against the Philistines and to say to the people of Israel, you must not settle down and conform to the Philistine culture. That was Samson's calling. And Samson did wonderfully for a while. We read about here the people of Israel are. Now they've settled comfortably under Philistine rule. But Samson comes along and he starts battling the Philistines. And in battling the Philistines, he was calling his people to resist the Philistine culture. And he enjoyed victory after victory. You know that Samson had this superhuman strength. And my friends, that strength did not come from eating a certain kind of cereal. That strength came from God. And Samson's hair was just the outer symbol of his devotion to God. And the strength that he had came as a result of his special devotion to God. And so Samson, in this great strength that came from God, led the people of Israel to victory over the Philistines. He won victories, I should say, on behalf of the people of Israel, won victories over the Philistines. So that's a little bit about Samson's calling. Samson was called by God to be a special instrument to stir up the people of Israel so that they would not get comfortable under Philistine domination, but they would rather resist Philistine domination. And I say again, Samson did well for a while. Now we come to the 16th chapter of the book of Judges, and here we're face to face with the second part of the sermon, and that is Samson's collapse. And we meet this woman, Delilah. Now, I can't tell you a whole lot about Delilah. There's a debate that goes on among commentators on this issue. Was Delilah a Philistine herself, or was she just an apostate Israelite? And the commentators go back and forth, back and forth. Some say she was a Philistine. Others say, no, she was an Israelite. But she had become so enamored with the Philistines herself that she might as well have been a Philistine, even though she was an Israelite. Well, it doesn't really matter. You can ask Samson, okay, when you get home to heaven. You remember the story I've told you about the little boy who got into a debate about with a seminary professor about whether Jonah was actually swallowed by the whale. And the little boy affirmed that he was, and the seminary professor denied it. And the little boy sought to win the argument, so he said, "Well, I'll tell you what, whenever I get to heaven, I'll ask him." And the seminary professor said, "What if he's not in heaven?" He said, "Then you ask him." And so I think he won the argument, don't you? Well, this is one of those things that you can just file away, and you can ask Samson whenever you get home to heaven. And if you don't make it, maybe somebody can ask for you. But you can ask Samson, was Delilah a Philistine, or was she just an apostate Israelite? It really doesn't matter in the last analysis. And we wonder about these things, but sometimes we spend our energy on things that really are not all that important. But here's the problem. Samson has now allowed himself to come under the influence of Delilah. And in coming under the influence of Delilah, he now finds himself gravitating more and more toward Philistine culture. He finds himself now going in the same direction that the people of Israel in general had been going. They had not cried out against Philistine oppression. They'd settled down comfortably under it. Samson was called to stir the spirit of his people so they would cry out again to God for deliverance. But they were comfortable. And now Samson is failing in his calling because he himself is gravitating toward Philistine culture. It's right there embodied in Delilah. I said a moment ago, I can't tell you a lot about Delilah, but I can tell you this much. She was beautiful. She was beautiful. Her parents didn't have to tie a bone around her neck to get the dog to play with her. She was a beautiful woman. And Samson was very much attracted to Delilah. And, of course, you followed along as I read the account. These Philistines have suffered at the hands of Samson. They want to be out from under Samson. They want to be free from his strength and the victories that he had been winning with his strength. And so they enlist Delilah. They offer her a goodly sum of money. And they say, "Find out the source of his strength so we can bind him." So Delilah asks. And Samson doesn't tell her the truth. And the Philistine lords burst in. And Samson defeats them. And so Delilah asks again. And again, the Philistine lords burst in to bind him, only to be defeated. And Delilah asks a third time. And again, Samson gives her an answer. And again, the Philistine lords break in and they seek to bind Samson, only to be defeated. I have to tell you, I started reading the Bible at a very early age. And I have read the Bible, lo, these many years. And this was something that troubled me from the very time that I began to read the Bible. I found myself years and years and years ago reading this account. And here is Delilah asking Samson, "What is the source of your strength?" And Samson gives her an answer. And the Philistine lords break in. Now, if that had happened to me one time, I think I would have had a clue. But she asks again. And Samson gives her another answer. And the Philistine lords come in a second time. I think if I hadn't learned anything the first time, I would have learned something the second time. But
She asked a third time. I mean, is there a pattern here? Are you beginning to see the plot? Are you beginning to see what she's up to?
And I've actually had, this was my struggle when I first got acquainted with this passage of Scripture. And then when I began pastoring at age 16, I would come to preach this series or this sermon on Samson, and this would be my struggle. How do I explain to these people this dunce? I mean, it's obvious that Delilah's out to do him in, and he keeps flirting with her, and he just keeps walking this path, even though it's obvious what she's up to. And I've actually had people say to me, Pastor, this makes me think that this account must not be factual. That this account departs from any connection with reality at this point, because no one in his right mind would continue to keep company with Delilah when it was obvious to him what she was up to. Well, that would seem to be right, wouldn't it? But you know what I found? I finally came to peace with this passage of Scripture as being an accurate depiction of what really happened. Because as I began to pastor churches, you can call it the Samson, I'll get his name right in a minute. You can call it the Samson syndrome, if you please. The Samson syndrome. Because here is what I noticed as I began to pastor churches, and that is we do the very same thing. How many of you have gone right back to the same sin after you got burned by it? That's the Samson syndrome. And I suggest to you, the account here is factual because this is, in fact, what we see in human beings. We get burned by sin and we go right back to the same sin. And I dare say that you have seen this in your own life. And so you therefore should not question whether this actually happened. Well, finally, Samson got weary of the whole thing. And you just feel like pulling your own hair out as you read this man and what he continued to do. And finally, he told Delilah the truth. And that is that if my head is shaved, I will be as ordinary in my strength as any other man. And then, you know what happened. She shaved his head or had his head shaved. And then the Philistine lords broke in once more. And this time they're able to succeed. You fiddle with sin long enough and it will finally defeat you. It will get the victory. And that's what happened with Samson. And now here, well, I preached to you last Sunday morning about Judas Iscariot, and I described him as being a tragic figure. Well, here's a tragic figure. Here's Samson, this great champion, this man who had this calling to stand for God and to stir up the spirit of his people so they would not settle comfortably under Philistine domination. Here he is now. His head is shaved. His strength is gone. And to add insult to injury, they have gouged out his eyes. My, what cruel people the Philistines turned out to be. The Israelites, I said, had settled down comfortably under these people, saying, oh, maybe these Philistines aren't so bad. They turned out to be pretty bad. After all, I wonder what Christian people are accepting today, right here in America, that doesn't seem to be so bad, but it may turn out to be very bad at the end. And here's Samson. His head is shaved. Strength is gone. His eyes are gone. And now he's grinding the grain for the Philistines. Oh, if we had to leave it there tonight, we could all walk out of here. We might be inclined to even cancel Joni's fellowship. We'd be so sad if we had to leave it there tonight. We might say, well, this is too depressing. We might as well just go home and be sorrowful. But thank God this is not where the story ends. I'm going to tell you something tonight about hair. And some of you may be saying, looking at me and saying, what would you know about hair? Well, I want to tell you something about spiritual hair. And that is this. Spiritual hair always grows back. It always grows back. Now, I'm not talking to you about this kind of hair. I'm talking to you about spiritual hair. And spiritual hair always grows back. I've told you before what I want to know. Some of you are all exercised over various doctrines. You want to ask God about this and you want to ask God about that. The thing I want to know is why hair grows in your nose and your ears and not on top of your head. That's the main question as far as I'm concerned. I don't know why hair won't grow on top of my head. But I'll tell you what, spiritual hair is different than physical hair, and spiritual hair always grows back. You may be saying, Pastor, what are you talking about? It's the end of another long day, and you're beginning to show your weariness. You're not making any sense. Well, here's Samson now. He's down there grinding in the mill. And as he grinds in the mill, remember now, his hair is an emblem of his devotion to God. And I want to tell you that as he was grinding there in the mill, his hair began to grow. But as his hair began to grow, his devotion, his repentance began to grow along with it. And his devotion to God began to grow. And you finally come to the end of Samson's story, at least as far as his story on earth is concerned, because now the Philistines, the Israelites had settled comfortably under their domination, saying, oh, these Philistines aren't so bad. They proved to be pretty bad. I say again, what are we accepting today that may not seem to be so bad, but it's going to prove to be horrible at the end? And here's these horrible Philistines now. They're not just content to have Samson down there grinding their grain. They've got to bring him to one of their big parties. They've got to hold him up as an object of scorn. They've got to make him an object of derision. And so here he is now in their temple. And they're having a wonderful time ridiculing, mocking Samson. And by this time, his hair has grown enough. And hear what I'm saying. His repentance has grown enough that now he has his strength back. And he takes hold of a couple of supporting pillars there in the temple. And he pulls down those pillars and the temple falls, the temple roof. And all those Philistine lords die. And the testimony of Scripture is that Samson killed more then in his death than he did while he was living. And he killed a lot while he was living. And so the story of Samson ends in a good way. But you may be asking, well, what does it all have to do with us? Well, you and I have a calling, brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen. It's a calling not to settle comfortably in this world. That's what the other Israelites did. And that's what Samson finally did. And you and I have a calling not to settle comfortably in this world. Oh, I tell you that we should lament the fact that many Christian people are failing in their calling. They think like the world thinks. They speak like the world speaks. They dress like the world dresses. They go where the world goes. They act like the world
Acts. How we need revival in our churches today. We've got this great calling. God calls us to be different. God calls us not to settle comfortably in this world, but to recognize that we are pilgrims on a journey to a better world, and to live even now with that world in view, and to live with its values in view. But many of us are failing in our calling because we're flirting with Delilah. We're flirting with Delilah. May I put it to you like this? Many Christian people today are being seduced by the very culture that they've been called to change for God. Is that plain enough? Many Christians are being seduced by the very culture that they have been called to influence for God. And so we're following Samson. We're following the Samson syndrome. We're following his path. And if we follow his path, it will lead to our defeat, even as it led to his defeat. What should we do? Well, if we have settled comfortably into this world, we need to let our repentance grow, just like Samson's repentance grew. If you're settled comfortably in this world, your repentance must grow. Repent. Repent. And I tell you, if the Church of Jesus Christ today will repent of her comfortable agreement, her comfortable settlement in this world, and lay hold of God, God will give us victories, even as He gave Samson a great victory. And God's people said, let's bow together for prayer. Father, we